I went back to the table back there where we have the summary of last week's sermon. Now, I started a series called Keys to Being Sustained. Now, I don't know whether you're aware of it or not, but the outline of last week's message is on there. This is something, if you're a preacher, you could literally take and preach. But how many of you know we're all preachers in our own right? And I think sometimes the best person we can preach to is ourselves. And so these are really good reminders. These are things that will help you. Keys to being sustained. Last week, we discovered that He is our sustainer. And we looked at four keys to being sustained. Number one, have faith in the power of God. For we are kept through faith by God's power. Number two, cast your cares over on the Lord. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burden over on the Lord, and He will sustain you. Amen. And then number three, be wholeheartedly committed to the Lord. He is able to keep only that which you have committed unto Him. And so we looked at the area of commitment, being committed wholeheartedly to the Lord. That positions you to be sustained by the Lord. And the last one we looked at is call upon Him in the day of trouble. And what will He do? He will answer us. That's what David said. He said, I cried unto the Lord and He heard me. Amen? Amen. Then after he had poured his heart out before the Lord, the Bible says, I slept. He went to sleep. Why? Because when he called upon Him, he knew that God was able. He knew that God was able to turn the situation around, so he entered into rest. And then later on, he woke up. And the Bible says, for the Lord sustained me. Amen? So cry unto Him in your day of trouble. Look unto Him, and He will sustain you, and He will keep you by His glorious grace and His glorious love. The fifth key is found in the 91st Psalm. Amen? Amen? Look at the fifth key over here. It says in Psalm 91, verse 1, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. So number one, we are instructed to dwell in the secret place. That's our fifth key. Dwell in Him. Abide in Him. Live for Him. Abide in His Word. And His Word will abide in you. You know, you can't just preach a message on dwelling in the secret place if you don't define what it means to dwell in Him. Part of dwelling in Him is simply on a daily basis drawing nigh unto Him. When you draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to you. Amen. Another great part of our fellowship and our dwelling in Him is having sweet communion with Him. Oh, amen. Well, how do you have sweet communion with Him? Amen. Well, you worship Him. You praise Him. You talk to Him. Have you discovered that when you talk to Him, He will talk back to you? And so part of dwelling in Him is communing with Him. It's being still before Him. Psalms 46 says, be still and know that I am God. Amen. The Amplified says, let be and be still and know that I am God. Amen. Amen. Dwelling in Him is setting your heart and it is setting your mind on Him. We can do that through prayer. So He tells us, dwell in the secret place. Did you know that you have your very own secret place? What is our secret place? Our secret place is in the presence of the Most High God. And understand this, this secret place can be accessed wherever you are. Any time of day. This secret place is not just in one location. When you leave your house, God leaves with you. You can talk to Him anytime you want to, and He will talk to you. So the point is this, no matter where you are. You may be on the job and you can be dwelling in the secret place. Amen. What basically I'm saying, it's having an awareness of Him. And you don't have to be out in the twilight zone to have an awareness of Him. You can be right there in your car, right there on BART, right there in the grocery store, and you can be aware of the greater one who lives on the inside of you. And so we need to cultivate this mindset that we are being God inside minded. Holy Spirit inside minded. He lives on the inside of us. And part of His responsibility is to comfort us, to counsel us, to strengthen us, and to pray for us. So I'm encouraging you this morning, live all day long with an awareness of Him. Amen. Again, verse 1. Let's read it together. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. Now, as I was studying yesterday, I looked up the word stable. Now, here's some synonyms for the word stable. You know, it's good to be stable in an unstable world. It's good to be stable in an unstable economy. It's good to be stable in a nation that's reeling back and forth from different circumstances that it's facing. Thank God we can remain stable. Synonyms: strong, sturdy, durable, firm. I like this one, balanced. And here's even a better one, clear-headed. Being clear-headed is the opposite of being confused. Being clear-headed is the opposite of being full of anxiety and full of worry. I love this verse of Scripture, and we don't have it on the board, but let me read it to you from the Passion Translation and from Isaiah 33, verse 6. I believe the King James says this, that wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times. In other words, our times are the seasons in life that we are in. And so he's saying that wisdom and knowledge will be a stabilizing force in your life. Yes. That's why we pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him would flood our inner man with light. Yeah, now listen to what the Passion Translation, see how this does you. He will be your constant source of stability in changing times. He will be your constant source of stability in changing times. And out of His abundant love, He gives you the riches of salvation. He gives you wisdom and knowledge. Yes, the fear of the Lord is the key to His treasure. And so when you dwell in Him, and when you live for Him, He's going to make you stable. He's going to make you strong and sturdy and well-balanced. And I like what the Amplified says, whose power no foe can withstand. Amen. Amen? Amen? Yes, there are foes. Yes, there are enemies. But they cannot stand in the presence of Jehovah. And when you dwell in Him, you are filled with the presence of Jehovah. And God arises and all of your enemies are scattered. No foe can withstand against a man or a woman that is filled with the fullness of God. Amen. So notice verse 2 now, amplified. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress, my God. In Him I lean and I rely, and in Him I confidently trust. Oh, glory to God. Beloved, when you spend time in the presence of God, it will change the way you think. It will change the way you talk. He is our refuge. The word refuge there means a condition or state of being safe or sheltered from pursuit, danger, or trouble. He is your fortress. In the Hebrew, the word fortress here refers to a castle or a stronghold. It refers to a place of defense and protection against large-scale attacks. I've heard people say, well, it just seems like in my life that all hell is breaking loose. We could say that that's a large-scale attack. But oh, thank God, He is our strong tower. He is our high tower. And the righteous run into Him, and they are the safest of the safe. They are the sustained ones. Amen? So, beloved, do not fret and do not worry just because the enemy comes against you. Know this, that He is your strength. He is your high tower, and He will fill you with His power and fill you with His Spirit. Amen. Now notice what happens as a result of us dwelling. He said in verse 3, for then. You see, He has a part and we have a part. He says, for then He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. I've written in my notes, if we will, He will. And so what is this saying? It is saying that this secret place is our covering place. What are some of the things that God covers us from? Well, how about this? The snare of the fowler. In better terminology, we could say the hidden traps of the enemy. Thank God, nothing is hidden before His eyes. Woo, glory to God. He sees it before it comes. Amen? And He is purposed in His heart to protect you. What else does He protect us from? What else are we covered from? How about this? Deadly hazards. Disease. Disasters. Plagues. Contagious diseases. Pestilences. You know what a pestilence is? A pestilence is an epidemic of mass proportions. We've just gone through COVID. Aren't you glad that COVID didn't get you? Amen. We had made it through. Amen? And we're going to stay through. And so these are some of the things that He protects you from. Only the Lord knows how many times He's protected you on 880. Amen. There are crazy people out there. There are demon-possessed drivers. Glory to God, but God makes a clear path for His sons and for His daughters. Woo, glory to God. Notice with me in verse 4, for then He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you shall trust, and you will find refuge. Notice this, His truth, remember this, His word is truth. So when He's saying His truth, He's saying His word and His faithfulness. Everyone say His word, and His faithfulness. Well, they are a shield and a buckler to us. Psalms 91:4 in the Passion Translation, and I do believe we have this. It states this, His massive arms are wrapped around you. You can run under His covering of majesty and hide. His arms of faithfulness are a shield keeping you from harm. Oh, thank God, God is faithful. Faithful is He that called you out of darkness. Faithful is He who has called you and will keep you. Faithful is He to watch over His word to perform it on your behalf. Faithful is He who's not a man that He should lie. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Has He said and shall He not do it? Has He spoken and shall He not make it good? Woo, glory to God. I want to ask you today, have you seen His faithfulness show up in your life? Has anyone seen His faithfulness show up in your finances? Has anyone seen His faithfulness show up in your relationships? Has anyone seen his faithfulness show up in your body? Woo! Glory to God. We could say it like the prophet Jeremiah. Great is thy faithfulness. He is faithful. There's no temptation taking us but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above the ability that he's given you. The Amplified says it this way. That he always provides a way of escape to a safe landing place. Oh, amen. To a safe landing place. So what that is saying to us this morning is we can rest in the middle of the test. Because he's on our side. And he is for us. Verse 5 says it this way. You shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor of the destruction that wasteth at noonday. That surprise test that lays waste at noonday. Now understand this. When we really live in the secret place in these last days, you and I can live fearlessly. We can live fearlessly. Not afraid. Remind you of 2 Timothy 1:7. Let's quote it together. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now point at yourself and say it like this. For God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Think about that. Power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He's given you a spirit of power, but he's also given you a spirit of love. Amen. And when we're living for him and walking in him and walking in love, love never fails. Not only do we need a revelation of how much he loves us, but we need a revelation of what that revelation will do in our lives. It will literally dispel fear out of our lives. Amen. Say with me, my Father loves me. So to live free from fear means this. Nothing could move us. Amen. Nothing can shake us. Nothing can intimidate us. Nothing can paralyze us, and we will not allow anything to throw us in a state of panic. Not the devil's lies, not people's attacks, not situations that we face, health situations, financial situations, family situations, what's going on nationally. No. We are not moved by what we see. We are only moved by what we believe. And what do we believe? We believe the report of the Lord. Amen? What do we believe? We believe that he is the Most High God and we are dwelling in him. So what we're saying is this, don't be moved by fear. Now listen to this. Our lives should be a description of Philippians chapter 1 and verse 28. Let me summarize what that means. Philippians 1:28 says that we are in nothing to be terrified by our adversaries. Amen. Not terrified by our adversaries. Another translation says, don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. Amen. The Message translation says it like this, not flinching or dodging in the slightest before your opposition. Amen. Amen? Amen? Not flinching, not dodging, but strong and stable in the secret place of the Most High. Yeah. Now, one thing that has helped me immeasurably, many of you know my testimony. I came out of the drug culture in the 70s. I ended up in a treatment center when I believe I was, how old was I? 1974. I was born in 1950. Now, the math says I'm 24 years old. Pretty good, huh? ended up in a treatment center at 24 years old, and I grew up in a denominational church that really didn't teach what I'm about to teach you. You know, they did their best. They walked in the light that they had, but they didn't have the full light that I needed. So for me, growing up was a religious experience. It was just time spent. I was just kind of checking the mark. I went to church today. Amen? So I don't have to confess a mortal sin. I went to church. I did what my parents told me to do. But there was not any life there. And so as a result of wrong choices and a lot of wrong decisions in my life, I ended up, as you know, in a treatment center. Well, in that treatment center, March 17th, 1975, I got saved. I got born of God. Amen. Amen. I got saved. Aren't you glad that you got saved? Amen. Can you remember the time that you got saved? Amen. That you got born of God? So I was born of God, but yet there were all of these grave clothes still hanging on me. You know what I'm saying? I had to go through the process of renewing my mind by the Word of God, just like we're all doing today, right? And then I needed to go through the process of consistently presenting my body as a living sacrifice to God, which is my reasonable service.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But one of the things that really entrapped me was looking at with regret at the past. Looking at things that occurred in the past. Looking at decisions that I made that affected and impacted my life and affected and impacted the life of many other people. And so there was this sense of guilt. There was this sense of being sad. There was this sense of being discouraged. Why? Because, you know, the enemy will always paint you a picture of who you were. Come on, somebody. He will never paint you a picture of who you are now. He is a historian. He likes to show us pictures of our past. But we can go from listening to that historian to looking into the perfect law of liberty and look at his story for our lives. And his story is bright. His story is good. His word will change you. His word will rearrange your whole life. Amen. But there was this sense of guilt. There was this sense of condemnation. All of those things. But there came light to me one day. And the light that I received changed my life forever. Amen. Scriptures like this. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. But the scripture that literally changed my life and turned the lights on forever was found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. If we can pull it up there, let's take a look at this. Notice the scripture. For he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be what?
Made.
That we might be made what?
Righteousness.
A scoundrel. No, Jesus took us from the zone of being a scoundrel into his life, into his zone, as the righteousness of God in him.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Now, E.W. Kenyon defines righteousness is living in the presence of God or dwelling in him as if sin never existed. Without a sense of guilt. Without a sense of regret. And without a sense of inferiority. In other words, no more looking back. We're now looking up. And we're looking what he has done in us and for us. So say it with me. He was made sin for me. He didn't know any sin. But he took my sinfulness. And I received his righteousness. Put your hand over your heart and say, I am the righteousness of God in him. So this gift of righteousness puts you in right standing with him, and now you can go before the throne of grace as if sin never existed before.
Amen.
See, a lot of people are fearful to go to him and to dwell in him because they're carrying the excess baggage of guilt.
Yeah.
And the excess baggage of condemnation. Well, righteousness completely annihilates that sense of fear, that sense of guilt, and that sense of inferiority.
Amen.
So I want to encourage you to think about that and to dwell on that, on what God has done with you and what he's doing in you.
Amen.
And another scripture I want to look at is Isaiah chapter 54. So let's look over there. Isaiah, the 54th chapter and the 14th verse. And so my point is this, it will help you tremendously to know that you have right standing with God. Isaiah 54:14 says, in righteousness thou shalt what? So he's saying, I want you to be established and firmly fixed in your right standing with God. And when you are established in righteousness, notice the next part, you will be far, what? You will be far from oppression.
Amen.
Amen? We could say it this way in context of what we're talking about today. You will be far from regret.
That's right.
You will be far from condemnation and the guilt of the past.
That's right.
In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. Notice the next part. For thou shalt not fear.
Glory.
Woo, glory to God. This righteousness consciousness annihilates oppression and annihilates fear in our lives.
Yeah.
You shall be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Kenneth Copeland says it this way. He said, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. So what do you say? We don't put up with fear. What do you say? We don't try to manage fear or cope with fear. Let's attack fear. Let's eradicate it. Let's get rid of it. Now, there's going to be thoughts and there's going to be images and there are going to be feelings of fear. Amen? That's when you and I, we go into the resisting mode. We say now, spirit of fear, I will not yield to you. Spirit of fear, I resist you in the name of Jesus. You see, the scripture says, resist the devil, and what will he do? He will flee from you. One translation says, he will run from you as in terror. I like that, don't you? A lot of times when people think about the devil, they have a wrong picture, a wrong image of the devil. You know, they think he's that guy with the pitchfork and all those types of things. No, fear is a spirit. And fear is a spirit that should not be entertained. Fear is a spirit that should not be accommodated. Fear is a spirit that should be resisted. Fear is a spirit that should be placed on the run with the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. So raise a hand toward heaven and say this, spirit of fear,
spirit of fear,
I resist you.
I
put you on the run
in the name of Jesus.
Spirit of fear, leave me now.
Spirit of fear,
get out of here. So instead of trying to cope with it, eradicate it. Eradicate it. Put it on the run. Now, thoughts of fear, imaginations of failure, come to all of us. I thought I maybe lost some of you there. But if we're honest about it, every one of us deal with thoughts of fear probably every day. Right? And so just because the thought presents itself to you does not mean that you need to entertain it. Don't sit there in your home and think all day on the thoughts of the evil one. He will only keep you in perfect peace and free from fear if you will keep your mind and your thought life stayed on him. Amen. We are not to tolerate it. We are not to allow it. We're not to think about it. Here's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Notice with me in verses 3 through 5. Are you getting anything yet today?
Yes.
We're dwellers in the secret place of the Most High. That's a fearless place. That's our covering place. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, we'll wait till they bring it up there. It says, I believe, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Amen? In other words, the battleground is not fleshly. The battleground is spiritual. There are spirits, evil spirits, wanting to gain interest and get access into your mind and your will and your emotions. So we are not warring after the flesh. Verse 4. Notice this with me. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare. We could say it this way. The weapons of our warfare are not fleshly. You cannot fight a spiritual battle with fleshly weapons. Amen. You can't take your .45 out and put the devil on the run. But oh God, thank God you've got something mightier than a .45. You got the blood of Jesus. You've got the word of God. You've got the name that is above every name. For the weapons, everyone say the weapons. If you have a Bible or your device today, just hold it up and wave it right now. That's one of your weapons. Woo, glory to God. The weapons of our warfare are not fleshly. But what are they? They are mighty through God for what? To the pulling down. Now let's just keep that up there just a moment. That's right, Kathy. We'll keep the Bible up there. Amen. We'll keep holding up the word. Amen. But notice with me, these weapons pull something down. These weapons pull down those strongholds and that fortress that the enemy is trying to build in your mind. Amen. These weapons are powerful and they will pull down thoughts of not making it. These weapons are powerful and they will pull down those thoughts of your family going to hell. These are mighty, mighty, mighty weapons. And the scripture says we can cast them down and we can pull them down. Pull them down. I like that. What do you mean pull them down? That means put them back where they belong. Are you listening? Put those strongholds and those thoughts that are trying to be up here, put them right back where they belong. And where do they belong? They belong under your feet. So read this with me, verse 4. Ready, read. For the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5. Now I'll read this. Verse 5. Casting down what? This is simply saying, cast them down. Pull them down. Those images that are coming to your soul that are painting a picture of defeat, are painting a picture of an early death, cast them down. Cast them down is the opposite of holding them tight. Cast down imaginations. Throw them down. And every high thing. Every high thing. We're talking about principalities and powers in high places. Every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God or the word of God that you've been taught and the word of God that you know. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God's word. Amen. And bring him into captivity. Amen. Tie a rope around that rat and throw him in prison. Amen. Bringing into captivity every thought. Woo! Glory to God. To the obedience of Christ. And if you will do that as a way of life, you'll have a peace that passes all understanding. Yes, in the natural realm, it seems like all hell may be breaking loose. But you've got weapons. You've got weapons.
Amen.
That releases heaven to work on your behalf. Woo-hoo-hoo, glory to God. It releases heaven's help for you in the midst of a hellish situation. Amen? So resist thoughts of fear with thoughts and words of faith. Verse 7, Psalm 91. Let's read it together. Psalm 91. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. And so what we need to do is we need to read that last part of that verse authoritatively. We need to read it with some emphasis as a church. But it shall not come near me. One more time. But it shall not come near me. Amen. Now, it's very vital that we speak our faith, but how many of you know it's also important that we're always in the right place at the right time, doing the right things with the right people so we can get the right results? Somebody say that again. Always in the right place at the right time, glory to God, with the right people, amen, getting the right results. So what that means is this. If this is going to be a reality in our lives, if this is going to be accomplished in our lives, which basically says we're not going down. Other people may be going down, but I'm not going down. Why? Because I'm praying that the Lord will deliver me from evil. That He will not lead me into temptation, but by His Holy Spirit, He will lead me and enable me to be in the right place at the right time with the right people, doing the right things, getting the right results. And so it behooves you and I to be led by the Spirit.
That's right.
Be led by the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Listen, friends, the same Spirit that bears witness with you that you are a child of God will also lead you and guide you and keep you from dangerous places. Woo, do you like it? I said, do you like it? That means tornadoes. That means hurricanes. That means earthquakes. Amen. In the midst of this earth reeling and rocking back and forth, you got a covenant with God. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Woo, hallelujah. Can you shout over that? Said me, I'm led by the Spirit. Verse 8 says, only a spectator shall you be. Now, we don't rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness and those things that happen to people. No, we pray for our nation. We pray for the people of this country. We pray for people to be born again. We pray for people that they'll be able to see what we see. Come on, somebody. Man, did you know that in the last 35, maybe 40 minutes, I don't know how long I've been preaching, but in the last 35 minutes per se, you have received more word right now in this auditorium that millions and billions of people will ever receive their whole life. That's not because of me, that's because of the word. And when you think about all you've received, from all of the wonderful teachers and ministers and all of the seminars and conferences and camp meetings, think about what the Lord has placed at your front door. When the world around us is hurting and the world around us doesn't know, when the world around us is held captive because they have no knowledge, we need to pray that this gets out to the world. And we also need to be grateful and never, ever take for granted what we have heard. I'm going to try this side over here. Never ever take for granted what we have heard. Woo, glory to God. We have heard marvelous things. We have heard great and glorious things. We have heard what He has done in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. We have heard from heaven. We have heard who we are in Christ. We have heard that we are the healed, that we are the prosperous. Amen. So we'll not take it for granted. Amen. So again, only a spectator shall you be. Yourself inaccessible. In where? In the secret. Should I say that, Lord? Some of you have not been to the secret place for a long time. And that's not to condemn you. That's to encourage you to come on in. Or we could say it this way, PT, come on back. Or another way we could say it, Jimmy, would be come on up. Hallelujah. Come on up. Come on up. We're moving on up. And we're not moving up to the east side. We're moving on up to heavenly places, into the throne of grace. Woo, glory to God. Amen. You haven't been there for a while. And when you haven't been there for a while, things go haywire. Come on, saints. Come on in. Come on up. Come on back. Amen. Only a spectator shall you be. Yourself. I like that. Point to yourself and say, myself. Inaccessible. In the secret place of the Most High. Now, what is this saying to us this morning? This is saying to you and I, He's not able to reach you as you stay in the secret place. Verse 9. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, even the Most High, your what? Your abiding place. Because you have done that, read verse 10 with me. There shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent. Come near your house. Come near your car. Come near wherever you live. Come near your jet. Somebody says, my jet? Well, whatever jet you're on. Whether it be your jet or American Airlines or United or Frontier, no evil's going to befall you. Neither shall any accident overtake you. Woo, glory to God. He's upholding His sons. He's upholding His daughters by the word of His power. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
When you get on a jet to travel from SFO to Dallas or to New York City or Milwaukee, Wisconsin, you walk on there covenant-minded. You don't walk on there cocky. You walk on there because you have a covenant with a covenant-keeping God, and His covenant says you are going to make it to the other side. Woo! The other day, we're flying from Tulsa to Dallas. Dallas is a huge hub for American Airlines. We were trying to get home, just trying to get home, minding our own business. And we had a 6-hour layover in Dallas, but thank God we made it. Woo, hallelujah, because of delays. But remember, honey, we're on the jet, and there was this young girl sitting next to you. We're in one of those 3-seaters sitting in economy. And this young girl, it was really, really bumpy from Tulsa to Dallas. Anybody ever been on a bumpy ride? I mean, it's one of those things, Sabrina, where you're sitting there and all of a sudden, oh, you know. And it's not the Holy Ghost shakes either. It's called turbulence. We're going to face some turbulence. But aren't you glad you're grounded? I said, aren't you glad you're grounded? So there's this beautiful girl, probably 17, 18 years old, sitting next to it. And when it got turbulent, boy, she just froze. And yeah, I'm going to finish this. And she grabbed, and she grabbed Pastor Brenda's hand. She grabbed her hand. And Brenda spoke words of life to her and words of peace to her. And told her, it's going to be all right. How does Pastor Brenda know that it's going to be all right? Because she knows the greater one is not finished with Mark and Brenda. And if he's not finished with us, he's not finished with the passengers on that jet. Woo, glory to God. And we made it to Dallas. And we made it to San Francisco. Several hours late, but we made it. Glory to God. And you're going to make it. I said, you're going to make it. I said, you're going to make it. Why? Because you got heaven's help. You got a covenant with God. And you got the angels of the Lord that are encamped around about you. And they will keep you in all of your ways. And that's the finish of my message. And we might hook up next week. It's time to receive communion. Did you get anything today? Glory to God. Woo, hallelujah.